You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome back to Earth Station MCU. It's been kind of a slow news week, but we've got a great show lined up for you, with the latest in MCU news, followed by this week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Devils You Know. I am joined once again by my co-host, Mr. John Rabin. And how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing quite well. It's another week among the living. Fortunately, we were denied the zombie apocalypse on Flight Aer Lingus, but
yeah,
I still have hopes that one day we will find ourselves embroiled in the undead.
Yeah, that would be a nice little Halloween surprise. I mean, the timing of that was just, I mean, like, the news on that broke mm-hmm. during The Walking Dead. I mean, like, how much more perfect could that be? But
it turns out it was just a man smuggling. Suffering from a drug overdose.
Indeed. Ah, well, but that's all right. And so I guess we can dive into news. The first thing that came up that was MCU related was an article in Forbes last, when was it? I can't remember. It was like last Friday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it said superhero fatigue is not a thing. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have, you know, a major publication acknowledging that.
Right, you gotta have somebody kind of fight back and say, yeah, Spielberg, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you look at the slate of movies that are coming out in the next couple mm-hmm. of years, it is kind of ridiculous. I mean, there's just, you know, Marvel MCU is putting out two a year. And we've got the next X-Men movie coming up, and we've got it's not Man of Steel, the Batman versus Superman one,
mm-hmm.
and I think I want to say there was another one too that was coming out next year.
There is Deadpool.
Oh, exactly, Deadpool. Not to mention all the stuff that's on Netflix.
Yes.
So, I mean, I get where people are coming from, but. You know, I think I've said it a bajillion times before. I think that Marvel, at least, is doing a good job of making it so their superhero movies don't feel like they're all the same genre.
Right, and I think something that the Forbes article pointed out with Ant-Man mm-hmm. was it being a much smaller scale movie, no pun intended.
Right.
It kind of lets you breathe a little bit, and it kind of lets you get more involved in this is a heist movie with superheroes in it.
Right, and it wasn't, while it was technically an origin story, it wasn't, like, all angst, and it wasn't, you know, people, you know, dying, well, you know, there was no Uncle Ben, there was no, you know,
yeah.
Anything like that. There was.
I mean, we nearly lost Hank, but he ended up being okay.
Right, he was fine. We got a nice little training montage with Hope in there. And,
gonna have a montage.
Yeah.
Montage. I mean, sorry.
Every movie's got to have a montage, especially anything where anyone is training, right? Because nobody wants to watch, you know, the breakdown of 6 months worth of training. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm glad to see that somebody in the media is acknowledging the fact that we've got lots of different genres and that it's just not all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there was that. One of the things that I was warning people to not believe last week, because we had so many false alarms, was supposedly Hulk was going to be in Ragnarok. But now it's sounding like that's a pretty sure thing.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what role that's going to take. I know all the Planet Hulk dreamers are going, it's going to be Planet Hulk.
Right.
It's probably not going to be Planet Hulk. Now, keep in mind, it was pointed out to me by Time Hop that a year ago I said that Captain America 3 was not going to be Civil War, and it was
yes,
Civil War.
That's right.
But,
good point.
But
good point.
This is going to be a Thor-centric movie, so right. I don't think we're going to end up with the Hulk marooned on another planet, but you never know.
But, you know, there's other worlds, right? I mean, I don't know the mythology, you know, the MCU, well, the Marvel mythology as well as you do. Could, quote-unquote, like, Planet Hulk be one of the other, you know, Blank Guard realms?
In the comics, it has not been. It was a completely separate planet.
Okay.
You know, we've got in the Marvel universe, the Nine Realms essentially follow the same as Norse mythology,
okay,
where you've got, you know, the land of the fire demons, the land of the elves, the land of the dwarves, the land of the frost giants, mm-hmm, Earth, Asgard, etc.
Right.
But nowhere in there is Hulk's planet in, you know, part of the world, part
okay
of the tree.
Well, I'm going to be interested to see how they work that in, because, mm-hmm, you know, it seems like everybody in Asgard, at least while they're in Asgard, is ridiculously powerful. And so, I mean, I guess if you were going to call in any of the Avengers in that situation, Hulk would be the only person that could actually stand up to, mm-hmm, another Asgardian. And I mean, as he's proved with his puny ragdoll toss of Loki.
And, you know, punching Thor.
Yes.
And sending him across Grand Central Station.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I guess if he was gonna tap any of the Avengers to come and help, that would probably be who it would be. But
and if, you know, it's to be believed that he's probably going to end up facing Surtur in Ragnarok, then,
and who's that?
Surtur is he's basically Laufey's equivalent, but on the fire demon side.
Okay.
If I remember my Norse mythology correctly, he's actually one of the ones who helps bring about Ragnarok.
Okay. Okay, cool. So that will be interesting. I mean, I don't think we're going to get Jane Foster back, just because I don't think Natalie Portman had a good experience on the movie. But it would be a nice tie-in with them both being scientists, and, you know, they could be. Although I don't know that Banner's necessarily going to be too excited about collaborating on science stuff anymore.
Yeah,
after how that
it'll went. Be interesting to him.
Yeah. It sounds like, and again, this is one of these things where it's I think the Hollywood Reporter is saying it now, and they're usually pretty legit, but Peyton Reed, it looks like, is probably going to be back for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
So that would be
good. Yeah, the negotiation's going on right now, so, I mean, I would expect those to go through smoothly. I'm not predicting any problems, and we'll probably see Paul Rudd and Adam McKay working on the script as
right
well. Probably not going to get Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish's input.
I do not think so. But yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, he did a good job with the first one, and
yep,
he's, you know, he doesn't have, as somebody that doesn't have a huge string of successes outside of Marvel, I think it's less likely that he's going to be more willing to play ball, you know, with their requirements,
yeah,
and whatnot, and not say, oh, this is against my artistic vision.
Yeah, he strikes me as the kind of guy who just kind of go along with it, and, you know,
mm-hmm,
he's just going to enjoy making the movie and not trying to make a big artistic deal out of it.
Right, right, exactly. Exactly. In the rumor side of things, people are talking about the possibility of having a Chinese Iron Fist.
Yes, and I think that's certainly possible, or you could even have like a biracial Iron Fist,
mm-hmm,
you know, white and Asian, to because he's, you know, but it could go really either way.
What was his origin story in the comics?
In the origin story, it's kind of, it's almost one of these, like, you know, like Last Samurai, where he goes over and discover, you know, white guy discovers Kung Fu, becomes right. master of it, and gets sent back to you know, the Western world to use his new skills for good. But on top of that, Iron Fist has the background of being Daniel Rand, mm-hmm. Kind of like a multi-million-dollar corporate CEO.
Okay.
And he's kind of like, he's almost like Tony in a way that he's inherited his company okay. from his father.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gone off to study in Asia and to learn these skills, and was chosen to become the bearer of the Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
His background is something I'm a little less familiar with, because they introduced a whole mythology
right.
To him a few years ago, mm-hmm. and gave his character and his background way much more depth than he mm-hmm. ever had in the 70s. Because when he was introduced in the 70s, he was one of the characters who was kind of the answer to the Kung Fu movies.
Right.
There was him, there was Shang-Chi, and then you get Luke Cage, who was Marvel's answer to the popularity of blaxploitation films.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, so that would be interesting, and I think that, you know, now that I'm hearing a little bit more about the backstory, yep. I think people are pretty sick of the white man goes and learns the secrets of the Orient thing.
Yes.
So
yeah, we're a lot more kind of over that trope than yeah. people were back in the 70s.
Exactly. So, you know, it sounds like it would require a significant rejiggering of the backstory, but one right. of the points that this article was making was that Marvel has been having tremendous success in Asia, mm-hmm. And that I guess it's Ant-Man's success currently that they're blown away by, and I mean I believe that's part of the reason why they made Helen Cho's part as big as it was in
right.
In Age of Ultron, and arguably also why they put in what was her name, not the MCU, but the girl that was in Days of Future Past, the girl who could like teleport.
Oh, well, yeah, actually, that's Blink.
Oh, that is Blink. Okay.
Yeah, that's the name of the character.
Okay, yeah. So I know that there has been talk previously about that's why they've chosen to bring in some of those characters, is to appeal to the Asian market.
Right.
And you know, that's cool. I mean, you know, whatever works for the story, I think, is what's important.
Yeah.
And
like I said, there are multiple ways to do that, because if I'm not mistaken, why am I blanking on Daisy actress's name?
Chloe Bennett.
Chloe Bennett, I do believe she's half Chinese as well.
Yes, she is. But she looks
and she was actually very... she was a pop star over there.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't, to me at least, to my eyes, she doesn't look Asian at all. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean it with genetics it just varies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember getting into a discussion with some people earlier this week about somebody was commenting on who Lash was going to turn out to be, given that it looks like he can, and we'll get to this in the second half, but he can transform his shape. And talking about the fact that people have brought up before that the two people of color that played the most prominent characters mm-hmm. last season were Deathlok and Reyna, and when they had their heroic, you know, transformation kind of thing.
I was gonna say, wait, no love for Mac or Trip?
No. I okay. but I'm saying that people that got powers.
Oh, okay.
Specifically, no, not just main characters, but people who got powers. That you had Deathlok, who ended up as a cyborg and horribly burned and everything, and then you had Reyna, who turned into Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. And the idea that they were setting a bad precedent about people of color having, you know, horrible mutations and things, and white people not having that. The person brought up the fact that the woman who plays Raina is biracial, and the woman who plays Skye, mm-hmm. Chloe Bennett, is biracial. But I really think Chloe Bennett looks like a white girl. She does not look particularly Asian to me. But
I mean, regardless of what you want to say, I mean, she is, and it's an
old,
it's an old discussion, and that has been going on for a long time. Well, if you don't look like the race that you're a part of, are you really a member? And obviously, you know,
well,
I'm
of
not
course she is. Yes,
one authorized to speak on that, but I know that that is a debate that occurs, especially when you've got somebody who's lighter skin versus somebody who's darker skin. Well,
right, of course.
You're not as ethnic as I am, etc.
But let's not get into that.
Right. We are far too white to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. We are both among the whitest people around, so let's just not go there.
I mean, I've got the SPF 100 back in my closet, so I can't say enough.
Fantastic. And then finally, we've been talking about Dub Smash Wars for a long while now, and it looks like Agent Carter pulled it out just by a hair above Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they are the champions.
A hair of $4,000.
well, yeah, but it seemed like it was really, really close there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. was leading for a long time, wasn't it?
It was. I guess there was a sudden surge there at the end. I'm not sure what caused it.
I don't know, but I think that's pretty cool.
I know. In my mind, I think I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. won the first round with their Wrecking Ball video.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had, I think, Carter won the second round with their Loa tribute. Of course, having Stan Lee cameos is an automatic.
That's always a plus.
And then the third one, when they had their
you know, entire crew things, I didn't think either of them were super impressive, but
I did like the S.H.I.E.L.D. one more just because I thought I've Got the Power was a good choice.
Yeah, but it looks like even though they're not fighting it out anymore, Haley Atwell is just completely addicted to Dub Smash.
That happens with people.
I guess, yeah, because she if you go over to Instagram, and we're gonna post the link to it in the doobly-doo, as they say. But, yeah, I mean, she's been...
Oh, it's like a dossier or something.
Yeah, we could say... like, yeah, the dossier. There we go.
Yeah.
That's much more classy. Yeah, more S.H.I.E.L.D.-like. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll post it in the dossier.
I can't help myself with the cool.
You're white, but you're cool.
What?
I said, you may be the whitest man around, but you're cool. When it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I was directly referencing Coulson's line, I think, from the first episode of this season.
Right.
Yeah.
So anywho, she's still doing stuff, and she's doing stuff on set for Agent Carter, and they're getting posted up on Instagram. And, you know, lots of stuff with James Darcy and some stuff with some of the other co-stars and whatnot. So if you want to see a little, what's his name? The guy who plays, Sousa, Enver something.
Enver, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Enver,
that guy.
Name I can't pronounce.
That guy who plays Sousa. Yeah, he's in them too. And they've got some...
At one point, I am kind of hoping this gets back to him, and he's just, like, tweets me, like, this is how it's pronounced.
Yes! That would be good.
I'm so sorry.
Stop calling him that guy who plays Sousa.
Let's just call him Sousa. Or Enver.
That's fine.
I mean, we're not close enough to be on first-name terms, but I can pronounce that.
Fair enough. This is true. So, yeah, so if you're at all interested in what's going on back behind the scenes on Agent Carter, they're doing, you'll at the least get a nice sneak preview of some of the outfits and some of the sets and whatnot. And they're fun, because she really gets into that, and she really is enjoying herself. So
she very much does.
Yep, very much so. I think that's
and,
about
you know,
it.
She keeps getting James to dress up in drag, so.
This is true. And that's, although, again... I kind of feel like that started getting old after a while in the ones that they were doing. So, you know, it was like, oh, we're going to see.
You say that, and I keep getting, when are you going to wear that costume, John?
I know. And it's like, really, really, guys? It was funny the one time, but... Anywho, I think that's about it for big news this week.
Well, we got, I mean, obviously everybody listening to this is going to listen to it after Friday, but tomorrow we've got the full Jessica Jones trailer dropping.
Very true, very true. All right,
yeah,
cool.
I think there's anything else really going on.
All righty, cool. Well, then we will take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Devils You Know.
Hey, tune in to the Ratchet Retrocast, your source for all things retro and steampunk.
Hello, my name is Jay Patrick, and that is Adam.
Hello.
Join us for the Adam and JP Show.
Hello.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Hello.
Get it now.
Hello.
Oh, we're just kidding. If you love comics... video games, movies, wrestling.
Who doesn't? These are all great things that make us who we are.
That's true. Then you should join us for the Adam and JP Show. You actually can get it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, that part was true.
And right here on the ESO Network.
And adamandjp.com.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe. And now we are going to be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I gotta say, they're doing a good job of keeping a whole bunch of different plot lines going at once.
Yeah, it's actually been very good right now. As we saw, one of those plot lines may not be over.
Well, which one?
With Dr. Andrews.
There's no way that's over. There's no way at all.
You never know. I mean, like I said, before, I think it's not wholly outside the realm of the Whedons to say, we're bringing back so-and-so for a much more prominent role this season,
right?
And then three episodes in, you kill them off.
I know, but it was one of those things. There's a couple things. For one, we didn't see the body. We didn't see, all we saw was he was in a building, and then it breaks away, and then the building blows up. And the other thing, I think, is that Mr. Von Strucker, Werner there, he looked like he had had the crap scared out of him. And yes, he just came out of a building that was blowing up, but he looked totally terrified. And so I think Andrew has some kind of abilities.
I don't know about that. I mean, we'll see next week if that's the case or not, but... for me, I don't think Werner's actually ever had to kill anybody before.
Oh no, I think you're right on that. But yeah. That was what got me thinking about it. And then the other thing was when he's talking to May, and she says something along the lines of that was supposed to be our time to figure things out, and you kept disappearing on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, that was totally my fault. And she's like, don't give me the it's me, not you thing. I don't want to deal with you. I mean, dude, if he was like off having, quiet time in Hawaii with his girlfriend, mm-hmm. why was he leaving and not telling her why? I think maybe he's not Lash.
I'm just not sold on it yet.
And fair enough. It's just a wacky theory, but it just seems like when I remembered May having said that he kept leaving when they were in Hawaii, I was like, wait mm-hmm. a second. And then I saw it went back.
Well, we've seen him on campus. I mean, the man's got a class to teach.
Well, yes. But
I gotta go from Hawaii. My psych 301 students.
I'm pretty sure, as somebody who adjunct teaches college, I've heard of long commutes, but commuting from Hawaii would be a bit much. I think I'm just saying. Mm. I think that would be a bit extreme, but who knows? So we've got the plot line going on with Andrew. And actually, one other thing to throw in there, he has said with all of the Inhumans that they've gotten, that they're not fit for duty. They can't go out, you know. Right. They have to be kept inside. And if he's trying to keep Inhumans from going out and, you know, rampaging and stuff, that kind of does fit with Lash. But I don't know. We'll see.
Lash, I don't think, would really care about that. In fact, you know, keeping everybody locked up in one place would make it easier for him to get to everyone, but just doesn't seem his MO to suddenly decide that he's going to take on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, no, I don't think that he thinks of it as taking on S.H.I.E.L.D. And, I mean, that's what the guy, the IT guy basically said. He's like, you don't understand. You should be working with him. So, but we'll see. I liked the little IT guy. I thought he was fun.
Mm-hmm.
For what little he lasted. Cooperation with Rosalind's team seems to be going relatively well. They're not trying to throw, you know, Sky into a cell anymore. Oh, yeah. I gotta put it in the swear jar. I called her Sky.
Ah!
Oh no. Dollar in the swear jar for me. Yes.
You have to give a dollar to Team S.H.I.E.L.D.
I do. I should do that. But anyway, Daisy. And I, now, what was I even saying about her now? I don't recall. But anyway, things seem to be going relatively well with Rosalind's team. And
yes.
They're cooperating. They're calling each other in and on jobs. And Coulson said, hey, you know, if we're going to be letting you know when there's somebody that we're going after, then you should at least let Daisy and Mac, you know, go back to your facility. And and they kind of conferred over that a little bit, but then they agreed to it at least. You there?
Yeah, Daisy and Mac don't seem like they're still terribly happy with this arrangement.
Oh no, I don't think they're happy.
Daisy
at all.
Especially.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, that might calm down over the next couple of episodes, especially if Team S.H.I.E.L.D. gets to see Rosalind's headquarters and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely that. Although the other sort of Lash question mark thing is if it's possible that Rosalind's team is just chasing down the other Inhumans and that they're actually in some way allied with Lash, then it would make sense that would be how Lash would know where the IT guy was being kept. You know, because when Daisy and Mac say, hey, we want to go with you guys, Rosalind and her head goon kind of confer for a minute. And then then when they go get into the van, it would make sense if they had staged that.
It could be possible that Lash is simply watching his IT guy in case anybody came after him to ask him questions.
That's certainly plausible, too. Yep, that's entirely possible. But be interested to see where things go with that. And I thought it was interesting that the IT guy's perspective on it was that, at least for him and the other Inhumans that he knew, supposedly, it was, you know, it was a terrible thing having gotten these powers.
Right. Well, yeah, and especially for him, because his powers are essentially, he has horrible pain and scabs and sores and whatnot whenever he gets anywhere near another one.
Right, exactly.
I can't imagine anybody actually considering having that power and considering that to be a good thing.
Exactly. So,
except for maybe Lash, because he's obviously using that to track other ones down.
Right, definitely. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. I thought that was nicely done, the way they did that with the shadow, and Daisy watching that. That was pretty cool. And then the other big thing that was going on in terms of bad guys was, of course, Hunter trying to infiltrate Ward's operation.
I'm surprised that went as well as it did. Pear-shaped as soon as he. He had to know that was going to go pear-shaped as soon as Ward got into the room, because of course Ward's going to recognize him.
Of course,
from even his voice alone.
I know exactly, and I'm surprised that went as well for him as it did. You know, I realize that he's relatively badass, but supposedly he took out five of those guys. Well, he wasn't doing so good in that episode where he was, you know, fighting with that guy. So. I don't know. But regardless, he took out five guys. May took out five guys. And then it was basically them and Ward and his head henchman guy. And then I thought it was funny because Ward's, you know, talking to them, leaning up against the door, and he gets on his phone, and I'm like, is now really the time to be texting, dude? But of course, he was pulling up the shot of Andrew, yeah. And saying that his, I mean, that just seems weird, though, the timing of that. I mean, I know, I'm sure it was just a coincidence. I don't think that there's any greater meaning to it. But how handy is it that he just happened to be going after Andrew right at the minute that May showed up?
Well, I think they more or less had people shadowing him all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, like, as soon as they get attacked, it's like, okay, move in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
and I thought that was gonna. I thought they were gonna milk that for a bit longer, and Werner was gonna try to get close to him.
Mm-hmm.
But that went by pretty fast. They just went from one episode to the next, and oh, by the way, we're gonna kill you now.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so that was a fairly quick resolution, at least of the Werner infiltrating part mm-hmm. of things. Like I said, we didn't see the body. I am pretty sure that we have not seen the last of Andrew. And
I mean,
and
we saw a body, we just don't know that it was his necessarily.
Well, right, exactly. Exactly. We did not see a positive identification of him being dead. So,
and you know, there was one last thing about Lash that I was thinking of, because he gives Daisy a look and he spares Daisy.
Right.
And at the same time, that actually goes back to something of about him in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Lash would basically spare Inhumans if they were able to successfully fight him off.
Okay.
Like, he would regard them as being worthy of their powers and then leave them alone.
He would respect that. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So it's not even necessarily that he's sparing Daisy because he knows Daisy or something.
Right.
It's more like, you're a worthy warrior, I'll let you.
Pretty much. He's very much a survival of the fittest type, especially in his belief that not everybody deserves their powers.
Uh-huh.
So if you learn your powers and use your powers and you can fight him off,
mm-hmm.
then he thinks you should keep them.
Mm-hmm. Again, my gut feeling is that argues further for it being Andrew, because he's saying that all of these Inhumans aren't ready because they need to learn how to use their powers first. But I don't know.
Well, Andrew's also, you know, a psychiatrist and thinking this is somebody who is having to come to terms with something suddenly.
Right.
And obviously we've seen with Jorge that he is not ready to live with his powers. So
Right. You're
going to put somebody who's still a little unstable out in the field. That's mm-hmm. not going to work.
Yeah. Very
as much as Skye might want people to be out in there now and have her team,
although
you know,
they did have,
you've got to do psyche vows and you've got to be sure that somebody is ready for that sort of scenario.
Sure, and I thought it was interesting that they had. Did you catch what her name was? The redhead that could like duplicate herself.
Yeah, Alicia.
She
was. She was the same woman from last season.
Right. Right. That's kind of cool, though, that they brought her back. So that was a neat little tie mm-hmm. in there.
Of course, now there's only four of her.
Right. But still pretty cool.
mm-hmm.
Then going back to May and Hunter and Ward. Of course, Ward gets away by jumping out the window into a pickup truck. And it's probably just because they were going, oh, here's a cool moment. But I thought it was neat that when they shot him, they really, it wasn't just like you see somebody shoot and somebody bend over and go, oh. They actually showed the bullets hitting him, which was pretty
mm-hmm.
cool. And it looked like there was some splatter. So something that I heard somebody mention online was the idea that rather than shooting to kill him, that Hunter shot some kind of like a tracker or something into him. But I guess we'll see.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure Hunter was
Ward's
on the
be...
war path and was not interested in tagging so much as killing, but.
And Ward's going to be a smart enough guy to figure that out and dig it out of himself.
Yeah, of course, but But yeah, so there's that. And then we get to Fitzsimmons. Oh,
yes.
Poor Simmons. So yes, what do you think is going on with that?
You know, it's a complicated thing. We clearly see, you know, she's in denial that she has PTSD.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a thing.
Yeah, she's like telling Andrew that, no, that's not a thing. That's not what my problem is. It's like, yeah, it kind of is. You've got a lot of the classic symptoms.
Yeah.
But of course, she's been in an alien environment for months. And of course, next week we get to find out how she survived it.
Yeah.
And, you know, she wants to go back. And it's kind of, I'm kind of curious, and I'm sitting on my haunches to see why, whether she has become so used to that place that she doesn't know how to live here anymore.
Yeah.
Which can sometimes happen if you've got, like, somebody who's been living out in the wild for far too long.
Sure, sure.
They don't know how to reintegrate into society. Right. Or if she found something there that, you know, they need to go back for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I'm still believing that it's somebody. I'm still thinking that because they made such a big deal out of showing us the guys in the castle in the 1830s. That were you know, drawing lots to send one guy through the portal and stuff like that. It seems like that's got to come back around.
Eventually.
Someone had pointed out, I forget if I said this on the show last week, but it was pointed out that the guy had a bottle of wine, and the mm-hmm. point where Simmons lost it in the restaurant was when Fitz got out the bottle of wine. So who knows?
Yeah, no, I would imagine, you know, after a couple hundred years, that stuff has aged pretty well.
Right.
If she found that guy's bottle on this planet.
Certainly.
And, you know, although I had another theory as well, especially when she covered her cut up with dirt. Mm-hmm. That maybe she was pursued by something that almost like a shark can kind of sense blood or uh-huh. smell blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the color of it and maybe
that's why
reminds
she wants
her
to go back
that.
Is to kill it?
I don't know. It could be. I mean, I think she's, it seems like she's developed kind of a blood phobia now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There was a wacky theory floating around the internet that I posted it, but I don't know that I'd necessarily go for this. The idea that she's a vampire, and that that's why she had the reaction to the dark red wine and the blood and all that. But
she's been in daylight. She's been under UV lights. Come on.
She has? She's been in daylight since she got back? I thought we've only seen her in the room where she was talking to Andrew and in the lab, which doesn't have windows.
She's been in rooms with windows during the day.
I guess.
We've seen them.
I guess.
And obviously, like, even, you know, for the traditional vampire, you can't even go into a room with windows in daylight and let it hit you.
Right, but this is, you know, this is comics, so, you know, they could bend any number of rules. But yeah, I think that's a long shot. But you know, obviously there's something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the idea that the guys from the 1830s, that he's still there somehow, whether it's because, you know, they were supposedly doing like some crazy black magic wuju or something, so maybe he's immortal, maybe, you know, I'm hoping that she didn't, you know, as someone rooting for Fitzsimmons, I'm hoping she didn't fall in love with somebody else there. But that would definitely be interesting. I believe it was last week Mike and I were talking about that, about the possibility of if Fitz gets hurt one more time, that it would be interesting to see him turn and become a supervillain. Because he's, you know, he's really been emotionally put through the ringer more than once.
I don't think we as the fans can handle that. I don't think they're going to go that route with him. We've already got, like, one former team member who's a villain, and that's Ward, and I think that's enough.
Yeah, but I think people loved it. I think people thought it was pretty cool when Ward went evil, but who knows? We'll have to see. I just think that if it ever turns out that Simmons is not interested in him, that's going to go really, really badly. So
probably, but I think we're trying to take the long route to putting them together. You know, it's like one of those things where every time, especially in a Whedon show, mm-hmm. when a couple gets close together, they do something to drive them apart again.
Yeah, or something horribly angsty happens, or, you know.
Yeah, they just, like, they don't, it's a family that, for whatever reason, doesn't believe in true love, despite, you know, the fact that both brothers are happily married.
True, true. Mm-hmm. I can't really.
No, we can't have our characters be happy. Screw that.
Well, I think it makes for more interesting stories. I mean, nobody wants to necessarily watch a show about people that are happy all the time. I mean, conflict makes for good drama, you know. Especially,
I think that's said by people who don't have enough drama in their lives already.
I guess. I feel like I have plenty, but. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. It looks like next week's going to be focusing a lot on Simmons.
Yes.
So I don't think we're going to be waiting too much longer to find out what it was that was back there.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see what happened on that planet. And the one clip that they released already is kind of her in her first few minutes on that world.
Right, right. Another interesting theory that had been brought up that, again, I'm not so sure that I believe it, but it's interesting, is the idea of, I believe she says something like, this is hell, and it would be interesting if that was hell as in H-E-L, as in from the Thor mythos. I think that's unlikely, but, you know, it could be an interdimensional gateway. You know, we know that it's at least going to another planet, so it could be going to a whole other realm.
I think it's got to be somewhere in Kree space.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is that the portal was something that the Kree would used to use to travel to Earth,
mm-hmm.
and that's possibly a reason why the Inhumans are afraid of it, because obviously the Kree tried to wipe them out once before.
Right.
So to them, the portal is dangerous. The portal could bring the Kree back mm-hmm. to destroy the Inhumans once and for all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of options. I just thought that it was neat that somebody seized on that particular word and made an argument for that, because that would be neat. It would be neat to, although, now that I say that.
Although it can also be hell to her.
Yes, H-E-double hockey stick.
A literal film.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting, now that I think about it, that the Asgardian professor knew what it was.
Well, because, you know, we established that he's been doing all the research for portals and things that can make him go back to Asgard against his will.
Right. So it could just be that, or it could be that it does have a tie into that. I guess mm-hmm. we'll see. But any other theories or thoughts on what's up with Miss Simmons?
You know, I don't know. I think I've said most everything I've got going. We'll see what ends up which theories end up bearing fruit.
Indeed. Any other plot lines or things that you're waiting to see what comes back around? Or have we covered all of it?
I think we've covered most of it. I'm just kind of enjoying the ride at the moment.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I'm really waiting to see in is maybe how everything ends up tying into Civil War.
Oh, definitely. And I think that as you have more Inhumans popping up, you're going to have, you know, more governments around the world taking note of that and and saying, you know, hey, someone needs to get a handle on this. Because it sounds like, as of the beginning of Civil War, that there are some countries that have already, you know, put into place some kind of registration program or something.
Right.
So I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see if that that ends up tying in with that. But all right, cool. Well, I guess it's time to do a rating. So for this particular episode, on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, where would you place this?
I'm going to give this one a 3.5. I think it moved the story along, and there were some interesting things that we learned, but I don't think it really, like, there wasn't any really big wow moment or, you know, huge fights or anything, because Lash kind of tore through everybody like paper, and then he was gone.
Pretty much. And, you know, sometimes we can count on Mei to have a good fight scene, and she was just in the sort of, you know, sniper gun battle at the end. I was waffling between a 3 and a 3.5. I'll go with a 3.5 as well. Like you, I think it was a good episode. It was a little bit above average for, at least for nothing else, for all the different theories that are coming out of it. And also for Coulson's crack about the laser finger. That was
pretty awesome.
That alone kind of bumps it up a little bit. I think that the title of the episode being, Devils You Know, really makes me think that, you know, certainly that it could refer to Ward. I mean, I'm sure that's part of it. But that's one of the reasons why I'm sticking with the idea that Lash is someone that we have met before. Because that would definitely be, you know, a devil that we know. He's definitely the most formidable opponent that they're going up against right now. And now that we know he can change into just a regular dude, It will be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm convinced of that yet. I think it's an interesting possibility that Lash can change his shape and look human. I just don't think yet that he is somebody that we know already.
Mm-hmm.
I think that particular hint is more or less a red herring. But
yep, that's entirely possible. And I have been known to be spectacularly wrong on a great many things.
And that's another thing that the Weans love to do, is to give us those red herrings. Like, lead us in one direction. Let us think it's going to be this, and then it's not.
Well, I feel like the red herring that they're trying to make us think is that it's the it's Rosalind's right-hand man.
Right.
But because obviously he doesn't like Inhumans, and he's I don't think he's ever been around at the exact same time as Lash, but I could be wrong. I don't know. But that seems like the red herring that I would have assumed they were throwing out there. But I guess we'll see. I hope either way we have not seen the last of Andrew, because I think he's an interesting character. I'd still like to know more of his backstory with Mei. I wish that they hadn't had Werner out himself so soon, because I think that would have been an interesting little spying espionage type plot line. But
I agree.
But we'll see. Of course, I'm looking. I think Bobby is really looking forward to getting back in the field. You know, she's another person besides Mei that can be counted on for a really good fight scene. So yeah, not a lot of, I mean, there was action in this one, but I'll be interested to see next week if it's all Simmons angst or what they end up doing for other follow-up plots.
And I think Coulson put it best when it's like, we need you.
Yes, exactly. I agree. And we need you, all of our listeners out there in podcast land. If you have a chance, we would love it if you would give us a rating up on iTunes or Stitcher or any of the places out there where you can find fine podcasts. And we will be back in 1 week's time. And we're going to have another exciting episode for you. So we will see you in a week.
Earth Station MCU's logo is by Mr. Mike Faber, and our show is produced by me, Jennifer Hartshorn. We would like to thank all of our listeners and all of the online groups that let us promote our episodes, including Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cosplayers, Welcome to Level 7, the DragonCon American Sci-Fi Group, the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Metro Atlantic Geeks on Facebook, as well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's MCU, and Marvel's Agent Carter on G+. Visit our webpage at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com or join the conversation on our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.